Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
If your team is in the finals, as a fan, you're nervous.
I feel like Golden State won't be nervous. I feel like Boston will be nervous tomorrow.
First time,
first game on the road, NBA Finals. Like, if you ever been to an NBA Finals, yo, it is crazy. I mean, yeah, I don't know where it is as a player, but like as a I don't think so.
I guess it depends on what games, though, right?
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, if you're Stephanie's guys, like, you've been in so many NBA Finals.
Yeah, but you're still nervous, though.
I'm sure there's a little bit, but it's not the same degree as your first time going to the finals.
Are you saying the difference between being nervous and being scared? Like, is there more fear the first time?
For who?
Like, in other words, Key is saying, of course you're nervous. Everyone's nervous.
But I think when you're different saying, levels of nervous. I think when you haven't experienced it before, like playing in the Final Four was different your first time. Like, yo, I never played in front of 75,000 people.
Why you look up?
Because you start leaving like,
what I'm asking, Jay, is
you're used to that, though. You guys are playing in stadiums.
Is there more, is the nervousness based more on fear?
I don't think fear really exists.
Well, because fear of,
I think,
what? Fear of failure.
I don't go into a game thinking about failure. I don't.
I'll tell you what.
I don't go into the 2-on-2 game like, what if I lose?
I'll tell you what, that's, and I don't think it's just because you're getting punched, but in boxing, like Mike Tyson will talk about it. Customato talked about it all the time, controlling your fear.
Well, yeah, it depends. Like, for me, every single game I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And as it got more important, that nervous turned into something different. Then the Super Bowl, I was scared to fail.
Right. That's what I'm asking.
You know, yeah. I didn't want to be the guy that everybody like, this mother.
You talk about Key
ball.
when that ball is in the air and you're wide open, right?
I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
Key, did those feelings come out while the game was going on? Like, did you?
At the start of the game until it calmed down. The first 5 minutes, 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot. It was a lot going on the first 5-6 minutes of the game. Once it calmed down, then it became a regular football game. But that first 6 minutes or so, that stuff was something different.
But see, Max, I don't think I ever looked at. I never used the word failure. Like I would never use that word in my vocabulary. Right? It sets you up for even thinking about that. So for it was like, how do you channel that nervous energy into becoming one with the game? Because the sooner you can become one with the game, the more you lose yourself in the flow of the energy of the game.
But see, using the word failure to me, I can say that because I know I was never going to fail because I was going to make sure that I did not fail. So I don't have a problem saying, well, I didn't want to fail because I already know what I had to put into it so that I made sure that I wasn't the guy at the end of the day that they were like, he failed us. No, I wasn't going to be that guy.
I mean, there are guys.
I was going to work my ass off to make sure in that particular game, whether it was a regular season, postseason, that I wasn't going to be
Jay,
the reason
I hear that
why.
A lot from great athletes and championship athletes, that the fear of failure is like they hate that feeling so much that even outstrips the joy of winning.
But he's talking about one game. I'm talking about it's a best of seven series. So basketball is slightly different. I can understand if it's one game, it's kind of like the national championship game. Like, oh, we either do it or you don't. But in the seven-game series for the Celtics, like that first game, like the type of media that you do leading up to an NBA Finals, dude, it's stupid. It's going 24-7. You cannot escape it. Yeah. It's a different level. And then when you get there, you talk about the national and all that, right? It's just a different feeling.
I once asked Don Mattingly when he was skipper of the Dodgers, because as he never played in the playoffs till his last year as a player. He had a bad back. He was about to retire. But he tore the cover off the ball in the playoffs. And I asked him, like, why are some guys able to get better as the competition gets, as the stakes get higher? He's like, well, you just stay the same. I'm like, no. But you didn't stay the same. You elevated. He said, no, you stay the same, but you know that not everyone's going to stay the same, and you take advantage of that. That's how he said he was able to elevate. Here, I gave the top five most important players in the NBA Finals on this Just In yesterday, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN. This was the list. I thought Key would do the honors
music,
for me.
Speed it
I thought
up.
Key would finish.
No, I was going to let you go ahead and do
it. Handsome host. All right, listen. No, I'm going to go 1-5 because the top two players are so obvious, right? Here are the most important players in the finals. Number one, Steph Curry.
Number one.
Steph Curry is the most important guy in these finals. He ought to be the best player in the series, and I would love to see him. You think because I raised the question or say here are the stakes that I'm rooting against him? I am not. I hope he comes through. I hope he wins finals MVP. I hope he gets that feather in his cap. He's the most important player in the game. In the series.
Number two.
A little bit. Jason Tatum is the second most important player in this series. He has evolved into a great two-way player. He takes on the toughest defensive assignment, and he does it more than adequately. Like, he has been very effective defensively and offensively. You know, we all know what it is. Could you imagine if this dude winds up a champion already in his NBA career?
Number three.
And now we get to the wild cards, right? Like, who's the third most important player in this whole series? So many guys to choose from. Wiggins and Poole and Time Lord and this one and that one. I'm taking Marcus Smart. If Marcus Smart can be himself defensively, the Celtics can win this. And if he can't, I don't know if they can. I think he's the third. And besides the emotional leader and all those things, that's true of Marcus Smart. But especially his defense, especially against this Golden State team, going to be key.
Number four.
Draymond Green. Draymond Green, for the same reasons a lot of people would point out Marcus Smart in terms of the energy and the emotional leadership and everything for the Warriors. People forget, in 16, he was about to be Finals MVP. Had LeBron and them not won it, he'd have done it. He was great in Game 6, great in Game 7. He's a big-time money player, and people always point to Steph as reinventing the game. Along with Dre, he's the pick-and-roll partner. I think Dre is given the defense to do everything. The ability, he gives him the ability to play five out. I think he's the fourth most important player in the series.
Number five.
This was very tough because I thought there were six or seven good candidates, but I'm going to go with Jaylen Brown, who's a two-way player, especially on the defensive end. But, like, he's the guy, if you're looking for 20-plus points from someone other than Jason Tatum, I'm going to look to Brown. And because he is an excellent defensive player, I give him the fifth slot, although, again, there are, like, five different guys, at least, I think, who could have been there. Those are my top five.
All right, so go through them really quickly.
One, Steph. Two, Tatum. Most important players in the series. Three, Marcus Smart. Four, Draymond. And five, Jaylen Brown.
So I would be the person to tell you that I think Marcus Smart is the most important person in the playoffs.
Wow.
Number one, because Marcus Smart is going to have the primary defensive rotation of guarding Stephen Curry, staying attached to his hip. And also for Boston, even though Jason Tatum has turned the ball over a ton during these playoffs. And when he's loose with the ball, they're not the best. So you need the ball in the hands of Marcus Smart, who initiates their offense, who also sets the tone for them defensively. I think he's one of the biggest key cogs in order for them to have a chance to win it all.
That's a bold prediction, Keith.
No, I'll agree with Jay. I'll back you up on that one, Jay. I think because of what we've seen Stephen Curry go through in the past when they played against Cleveland and Kevin Durant was on the team. And they, as Ty Lue said, they wind up trying to take him out using the blitz, using two guys on him. Well, you don't have that. You don't have to worry about that as much anymore. Mm. Now you could just single him up with Marcus Smart. Yeah. But at the same time, both ends of the floor Smart has to play on. He has to get the offense going, but he also has to chase Steph all around the court. So that energy level for him has to continue to stay high at all times. And when they talk about condition during the season, him coming off an injury over the last couple games, that is going to be majorly important.
Yeah, you may have convinced that's a persuasive argument. And because Max, he's also got to play that unselfish point guard on the other end.
And can't think shoot first, think pass first, shoot when it's appropriate. And by the way, the last time these two teams played, I told y'all, Steph is petty, man. He's one of the most competitive dudes. That's where Marcus Smart dove into his ankle, and it had Stephen Curry out for a while. So trust and believe, Steph remembers that.
So he's playing a fully motivated Steph.
That's what I'm trying to say, man.
You can't double and double him all
you're
the time
injured.
Because you have Jordan Poole, you have Wiggins, you have Klay who can get hot.
He's a momentum scorer. You got to slow him down because it sets the momentum for this team.
Smart's got to play a real point guard on the other. You may have convinced me that he is actually the most important player in the series, and he's banged up.
See, Curry, the reason Curry wouldn't be one for me is because they got so many other pieces that they can rely on. If you take Curry out, you still got to account for, like, mentioned it, Wiggins, Poole,
but he's
Draymond
the engine,
to a
though.
Degree. I understand that. He's going to get his shots. But even if he's limited, Klay can get hot just like he did the
he's
other
hotter
night.
Hotter than anyone.
Yeah, Jordan now all of a sudden, you yeah. look up and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Wiggins and Poole can get their own. Keyshawn, J. Willimax is brought to you by Capital One with no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. Speaking of bold predictions, one bold prediction from an NFL insider about a second-year quarterback. That's next on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And Graziano with us, ESPN NFL insider here on Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, to play Fill in the Blank. Dan, you ready?
I am. I'm ready.
Your bold prediction for the 2022 season is?
Trey Lance will lead the 49ers to a division title. I think he'll play well. I think Kyle Shanahan's got a plan for the young man, and I think I don't think we're giving enough credit for how good he can actually be right out of the gate.
Yeah, I like that.
Matt Ryan taking the Colts to the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. Matt Ryan, I did it earlier.
Yeah, yeah, you guys gave it. I was wondering, Key, about what you think about Trey Lance.
Oh, okay, so I'll follow up Dan.
Well, you had to pay attention first.
Well,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, all right.
Key wanted to talk about what Key wanted to talk about.
I didn't know I was following you up.
No, that's all right, because we already made our bold prediction.
Yeah, so I'll follow you up.
I want to listen.
I think that's a good one. I think that's a good bold prediction. I don't necessarily know if Trey Lance is the guy, though.
Yeah.
You know, we still got to kind of wait and see what happens to Jimmy G.
That's what makes it bold.
No, I get it.
I mean, that's the whole point, right?
I understand it. Yes.
Like, I just say, okay. Oh, the Bills are going to be good. Like,
now,
you know, that's not,
we're going to get into territory we have not yet covered. So, Key, Jay, weigh in, please. Your blank will be the best second-year quarterback. Who?
Oh, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Because the upgrade coaching-wise is so significant, right? I mean, like, whatever happened with Doug Peterson at the end in Philly, he's a coach that's had success with quarterbacks. He knows how to coach him. And Lawrence last year was a complete fiasco. So he's going from, like, way under zero to actually something really good. I think he'll make a big jump.
I'll stick with Mac Jones. I'll just say that they're going to continue to roll that out the way it is. They'll take one of the little training wheels off. The other three will still be on. And he'll just get better and better. Doesn't mean that he'll surpass statistically what Trevor Lawrence is doing, but just overall, I think he'll look different than he did a year ago.
Yeah, I'll go with Dan and what he said with Trevor Lawrence. His first year and Doug Peterson, I think that'll be a difference.
But we're not talking about how much improvement they're making. We're going to say who is going to be the best second-year quarterback. You still like Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
I think
think I'm with Key. I think I like Mac Jones, considering the circumstances, to be the
Bill's
guy.
Bill's calling plays. Yeah. Why wouldn't
is
you?
Is Bill going to let him rip it, though?
Blank will be this year's Bengals and surprise everyone by winning their division, Dan Graziano. Who will it be?
The Philadelphia Eagles. I think they've loaded up around Jalen Hurts. You know, he's got some limitations, but he improved a lot last year. I think probably more than was expected of him. And he's got a toughness about him. I think they're primed to take that division.
I'm trying to think of somebody. Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns. Because what Cincinnati did last year was come out of nowhere to go to the playoffs. Philadelphia Eagles, and it's not against Dan or anything, they went to the playoffs last year. It wouldn't be a big surprise to see them eclipse the Cowboys, because they're right there with the Cowboys based on offseason moves, the draft. Cleveland is a bit of a mystery because we don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Dan. We're still kind of trying to figure out how many games, and Jacoby Brissett, can he hold it together?
I'll go out of AFC West. I'll go with the Chargers to win AFC West. I mean, look, loaded division. Brandon Staley, a lot of questions around him. We get it from Key every single day. We bring up his name. Justin Herbert, Max, I know that's your cheese. You love him. Anything that happens around him. But also them kind of fixing the defensive side of the ball, I think is a huge upgrade for them.
Yeah, by the way, you could have gone, Dan, with the Niners. Would that be bold to say the Niners win the division with a first-year starter?
Well, I already said that on my bold prediction. I didn't want
to
be redundant.
Get him the way you attacked me, Dan!
I didn't want
to
be redundant.
Dan's bold prediction was so efficient that it could fill in for several of these questions.
Or you should say that the first time around.
The question was, we didn't really do a great job with that question, like who could be this year's Bengals. Because all those teams, that's all realistic, right? The Chargers were right there last year. Like if someone had said the Vikings, right? Or something like that. That, I think, would have been true.
Cleveland wasn't there last year, though.
They weren't, but they should have been. I don't know.
And we don't know about the quarterback.
Are you saying the Vikings?
No. Okay, I'm just saying that would have been
a
hypothetical. That
bold prediction would be the Giants.
The Dolphins.
You know, but
no
one believes it.
Something like that,
All right. Aaron Donald will play blank more seasons, Dan Graziano.
Three.
Three more seasons.
That's what I want. I said three.
Five.
I don't know.
Five more seasons.
Easy five.
Easy.
Easy five. I'm going to retire.
So, like, if he wants.
Don't do it.
He's looking for $30 million to play this year. Like, what's it going to cost to have him on your team in 2026?
Yeah, but by the time he gets to 2026,
he'll take a haircut.
No, he won't. The cap will be $1 billion.
Or he'll get his money.
Yeah.
But five seasons, you mark it down. I just saw Aaron Donald the other day. Man, Aaron Donald's fine.
He's doing all right.
Hey, Key, don't snitch. What are you doing? He's trying to get his money.
No, he's going to get his money. Sean and Les are going to pay Aaron Donald. In fact, he just sold his house, so he got some money.
All right. So,
jeez. If germ spreading.
What do you mean?
I just said, don't snitch. You did it again.
Don't
put this on me.
If Aaron Donald retires, the best defensive player in the NFL is
Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett. How's that? Is that a good call?
I got one.
Myles Garrett would be good, but could it be Jalen Ramsey? Could we take a defensive back, maybe?
I thought about Jalen Ramsey.
I got one, given the trajectory of his career, too. Parsons.
That was a good one, too. I was just
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Micah Parsons.
He's already real good.
Could Chris Jones be in that conversation?
Yeah, he's in there.
He's in that conversation.
Jones.
DeForest Buckner.
There's some good ones. How about TJ?
TJ Watt.
Player
of the year. Yeah.
Good candidates. Myles Garrett's first one that popped into my head, but those are good calls.
He's a beast.
You're thinking pass rusher.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Give me some sacks.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, playing fill in the blank with us here on Keyshawn J. Willimax.
Attacking me.
Is coaching their last season with their current team. Who's coaching their last season with their current team?
Matt Rhule in Carolina. The quarterback situation's a mess, right? Like, it's almost like, what are you going to do?
It's a layup. Give me another one.
Well, it's not a bold prediction. It's just fill in the blank.
No, it's a layup, though.
This was not a bold prediction. Okay. This was just a, exactly.
I got
this
one for you.
Right.
Pete Carroll.
Oh, God, you stole mine.
Interesting.
Seattle, you kind of feel like it's getting to that point. Is it a rebuild? Is it not?
It's a rebuild.
What are they doing with their quarterback?
That's a good one.
It kind
one.
Of feels
That's
like he's on
one.
That verge.
I'm trying to think of who else it could be here.
Plus, he's the oldest coach in the NFL. I mean,
who's on the hot seat?
They just hired 10 new head coaches. Like, it may be it could turn out to be a light year for head coach firing.
Yeah.
You wanted me to say Mike McCarthy, but I'm not going to.
Oh, that was low hanging fruit.
Surprised you didn't catch on to that one earlier, Max.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh. Interesting.
Yeah, if the Jets don't show real improvement, they're going to look at the coach.
Everything that they've done, you know how these owners get, man. They go down to West Palm Beach and start talking to each other and hanging out.
And the guys get,
you know, hey, what do you think about I shouldn't have hired that guy 2 years ago. Why don't you get rid of him, Bob? Well, you know, we're talking about it.
They won 4 games last year, right? Was it 4?
Four or five.
Four or five.
Not many.
We just went over this yesterday. I forgot
they
already.
They were 4-13 last year. Oh.
4-13.
So if you come in below
win
that.
Win six games. Oh, my God.
What if you win four games, you're fine.
But what if you win five, but the five looks kind of
It's better than four.
Mm. I'm just saying, man. Three? You live in New York. You're from this area. Y'all know how these people are out here.
You know, it's not
they
a
go
terrible.
Crazy.
Hey, these people.
Hey, yeah. Who are these people? What do you mean?
Answer's probably Romeo Crennel, honestly, like if you really get down to how they run things out there in Houston.
This is blank. Whose last season? This is blank last season. Whose is it as the starting quarterback of their current team?
Oh, Tom Brady. Mm. Well, because even if he doesn't retire, I think he'd go somewhere else at next year. So Tom Brady, last season.
So with him saying Tom Brady – and Jay thinking South Florida is a destination, I'm going to say Tua.
Ah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, both good. They kind of revolve around the same idea.
I don't know. Ryan Tannehill?
Maybe. Ooh, that's a good one.
Ryan
that's
Tannehill?
Yeah, Daniel Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones. That's an easy one.
Low-hanging fruit. Yeah.
There's no expectations. He can only exceed expectations, Daniel Jones.
Carson Wentz, of course, everywhere he goes.
It's the last year
in a row.
As you really start to think about it, you're like, Carson Wentz?
Here's my question. Every year. Will there be a sucker to take him? Because, he'll do certain things that are good.
Mitchell
Jared
Trubisky?
Goff, it could be. Dude, I got to go do sports.
He may not be the quarterback. This is too much fun.
I've lost track of time. I got to go hop
You think Kenny Pickett a start before Mitchell Trubisky?
I think I don't know. It's a guess. I think Trubisky probably starts the season and Pickett starts some games.
Wow.
Before it's over.
I think Trubisky.
Guess. I'm guessing.
Yeah. Bold prediction.
I don't know.
All right.
How bold it is.
You need to go do Sports
I got to go
Center.
To Sports Center.
There he is. Dan Graziano. I'm very in demand.
Well, can we please prioritize our show?
Yeah. I mean, I'm here.
He's here first. So he has prioritized.
You're right.
Yeah.
They're getting old news. We're getting fresh news.
Bold. We have so much coming up. There's so much going on. People in baseball slapping each other over fantasy football.
Slap me and call me Susan.
Over fantasy football?
I love it.
What is going on? Hey, let's take a call real quick. Derek from North Carolina. What's going on, Derek? Well, Albert from Florida.
Oh, Albert.
We'll take Albert real quick. Then I got to do. Dan's got to go to Sports Center. We got a lot to do.
Should I just get him go even though I'm on camera?
I guess I don't.
All right.
I
know I'm not
supposed to do that. No? All right. That's it. That's
Director,
it. I'm just going to go to Sports Center.
Dan.
No one wanted to play ball. I'm just going to Sports Center.
All right, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Your turn to weigh in. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Back to the three shot.
888-SAY-ESPN. Your turn to weigh in next. That's the basketball court you're seeing on ESPN2. The ESPN Radio 2-on-2 challenge. Barton Hahn challenge. Key and Jay to 2-on-2. Key and Jay accepted the challenge. And they will play 2-on-2 out there today.
Ricky, tell them. Bring them. Yeah. Oh, man. Key, that seems like that. Y'all keep the bottles over. Yeah.
888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. What are your bold predictions for the NFL season? You can also hit us up on Twitter at Key, Jay, and Max. You guys want to hear from the people?
Yes, we tried to hear from the people a minute ago, but they disappeared.
They didn't respond to you.
So let's try it again.
All right, let's see if this works this time. Lee from Michigan, you're on with Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning, everybody.
What's up, Lee, man?
What's up, man? My bold prediction is I think the Lions going to win 10 games this year.
Over how many years are they going to win?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I bet you won't go put your mortgage down on it.
Only reason I say it is because last season, 9 games, they finished within a score. right? And then within those nine games, out of five of them games, went down to the last second.
Yeah.
So I figure if they, you know, do better in crunch time,
you want to move
win those
them,
games.
You know what though?
Yeah.
You know what though? The Lions was fighting for Dan. There's no question about it. They was fighting for Dan Campbell. I think Aaron Glenn on the defensive side got going toward the season. In the season, he got better as a defensive coordinator. Things started to change for him. They're a little ahead of schedule. I think next year, though, 2023, will be their year where you'd be like, oh, okay, they can really make some noise.
With Goff or with someone else?
I don't mind Goff. I don't have a problem with Goff. People just, for some reason, don't like him. I think their style and how they want to play fits him.
Mm-hmm.
They want to run the ball.
If you're taking first overall and you just play like an okay quarterback, people are down on you, but you may be an okay quarterback.
That may be the case.
Freedom from Oakland. You're on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Your bold prediction for the NFL season.
Well, I'm sitting here. Good morning, y'all. How y'all
morning,
doing?
Morning. Good morning,
what's happening, Free?
Man, I'm trying to be free, man, but I don't understand. I want to ask y'all, what's the oldest quarterback that ever won a Super Bowl?
Had to be Tom Brady. Tom Brady.
Yeah. Easy.
Tom Brady.
Okay. How old is Matt Ryan?
Not as old as Tom Brady.
He's late 30s.
How old is he? I'm just
30. He might be
37.
Well, I'll find out for you right now.
Yeah, 7'6".
37.
Yeah,
37.
Okay, so he's going to be the second oldest QB if he wins this year to ever win it, right?
I don't know about that. I have to think about that.
How old was Brad when we won?
How old was Peyton Manning? Right?
How old was Peyton?
Peyton had to be 38, 39.
Yeah, he'll be older. He'll be one of the older quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl for sure.
So my question is, what makes y'all think that he's going to win?
Well, first of all,
that was Key's prediction.
First of all, it was a bold prediction. Doesn't mean he's going to win, Free. It just means that he has an opportunity on a bold prediction. First of all, think about it. Let's make it realistic.
You didn't say win. You said get there.
So, by the way, real quick, guys.
Win, get there.
By the way, real quick, Peyton Manning was 39. John Elway was 38.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Unitas is 37. So,
yeah, right, so there yeah, you yeah. go. He's one of the older guys. So when you think about it, though, Free, look at it from this perspective. Not bold, but just real. They got a good running game, solid offensive line. They got a nice receiving core all of a sudden. Their defense is solid and sound. You got a quarterback that knows how to win. All you got to do is win your division, win enough games to get the right seeding, and before you blink, man, you're in the AFC Championship game.
Peyton Manning, that was the remains of Peyton Manning that won the Super Bowl.
That defense, so
I mean, you know, they had Osweiler in there for a while because Peyton couldn't get it done. So if you can, but they were loaded in a lot of ways. And if Matt Ryan's got a lot more now than Peyton Manning had that season.
Yeah, but it's not even about Matt Ryan as much as it is about everything around
him. Yeah, I'm saying he's on a strong team like Peyton was. And the difference is he's got more in the tank, it looks like, to me, than Peyton had at that point.
And you got Jonathan Taylor, who's a beast.
Yeah. Dave from Maryland, your bold prediction.
What's going on, my friends?
What's up, brother?
Dave?
Here's my guaranteed bold prediction. Mm. The Cincinnati Bengals will not win 8 games. They won't come close to making the playoffs. They were a one-hit wonder. They got to play 5 division winners, Tampa, Buffalo, Kansas City, Dallas, Tennessee. They're losing at least 4 of those games. And then some of the other non-conference games, Miami, New Orleans. Besides the division, the fact that the Ravens are going to come back strong, Cleveland is going to be really improved once Deshaun gets clear, and Pittsburgh is going to be tough late. I mean, listen, they're going to be competitive, but they got no chance. And they're predicted to win 10 games. That is the easiest money to take the under on that one. They won't even sniff 9 wins. That is just a joke on that. They've just got a brutal schedule. They're still going to be a team of the future, but clearly last year was a fluke, and I guarantee you they had no chance to win 10 games, my friends.
Yeah, I don't know how the amount of games, but I have been saying a whole time, and as Jay likes to say, that the people get after him when he says something wild. Cincinnati people got after me the other day because I said, I don't think that they're going to even win the division. And in somewhat – much like he just said, they basically caught everybody off guard, backed into a situation. Everything hit the way it was supposed to.
Got lucky.
They got lucky. A few games bounced their way, and they wind up in a Super Bowl. And I think – I don't know that they'll miss the playoffs, but they don't come close to
They were
missing.
Ahead of schedule anyway.
Yeah,
even
absolutely.
if they just make the playoffs, that would actually just put them back on schedule. The only thing I'll say is this, Jay.
No, don't give me anything about Joe Burrow.
Yep. Here's the thing. You know how they got lucky? It feels like they got lucky.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that it's going to feel like Joe Burrow's teams get lucky a lot throughout his career. And I think that'll apply to this season too.
And it might be the case though.
One of them dudes.
There's no question about
Key,
it.
Something right always happens for that
but
guy.
But just something don't feel right about Cincinnati.
That's though. Why I said before, we talked about this last week, where I was like, are we sure Zach Taylor like is the guy for this team to get them over the hump when it's all said and done? Because it feels like they will come back down to a realistic perspective on where they are this
it's
year.
It's a little bit different. Zach Taylor, look, all coaches go through something and they hit and they turn
course,
out to
yeah.
be good. But it's something about those old dudes, I'd always say them 50, 60-year-old gray-haired guys that sit in that room for the last 9 months trying to figure out how to stop that offense. They got a book now. Not a book on 6 games or 12 games. They got a book on a couple seasons to now know all tendencies, all weaknesses, everything that you're going to do. It's going to be a lot different. Ja'Marr Chase, yes, historical rookie season, phenomenal rookie wide receiver. But they're not just going to let him just run down the field like that again this year.
Key, expectations change a lot of stuff.
They got a different feel for what they want to do with you.
One of my favorite things, Key, that you have taught me on this show is a Bill Parcells expression. Something bad always happens for that guy. And the opposite of that, something good always happens for that guy. There's some guys, they look good, the whole thing, but somehow Carson Wentz, something bad always happens for you, right?
Doesn't matter, huh?
And there are other dudes, Joe Burrow, where you watch him and you go, oh, there, the guy's better than something good always happens for that guy. That's the feel in college, in the pros so far. So, like, when you have that guy under center, man, I'm not counting you
doesn't
out.
Doesn't mean he won't have a great year. Just this whole, they going back to the Super Bowl, they'll be in the big toaster in Arizona.
Like
it's not. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, right. Getting back to the Super Bowl is a hard thing. Snowball in Hawaii.
Snowball. From
Snowball
pets?
In Hawaii. Hey. How does that work?
Did you know that, Jim? I know. I'm Snowball. Lives in Hawaii, but I'm from Alaska.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. Melting in Hawaii.
And Jay Will, I played with Trajan in high school basketball, baseball.
Ooh, the Alaskan assassin. I see you.
Yes. Yes.
All right. What you got, Snowball?
But my bold prediction is the Broncos will be under 500.
Oh, you're going to get this show going.
They paid way too much for Russell Wilson.
Under 500.
They paid too much for
one game under.
A guy that the Legion of Boom should have been paid, not Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch.
If you pay an aging defense and running back, usually it doesn't work out so great. And by the way,
no, I get what he's saying though.
Seattle was really good with Russell Wilson at quarterback for a long time.
What he's saying is Russell Wilson was just on the team wearing a jersey. The defense is the reason they went to the Super Bowl. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, but then they won double digits after that defense for a lot of years.
I get it, but they did much like Richard Sherman said and other players on the team, Jay, that have been on those teams feel like Russell Wilson was just a guy.
Could you imagine
underneath the center?
Could you imagine if they missed the playoffs? He just came from the NFC West. Oh my God, what a division! They're all great except for one team. Seattle was no good. Now he's in the AFC West. Oh my God, what a division! What if they were the only team under 500 in that division and in consecutive seasons?
I could see them being
West,
one game.
NFC,
see them being
AFC,
one game, 2 games under.
Ooh, that would be a bad look for Russell Wilson. I don't see it, but
it's a new team, new situation.
Those are your bold predictions. America. We heard Dan Graziano's bold prediction in Fill in the Blank. Fill in the Blank brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Choose Barbasol Shaving Cream for a thick lather and close, comfortable shave. And for a limited time only, capture your Barbasol Jurassic cans before they're gone. A bold statement from one of the greatest coaches ever after Jay has this from O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 8 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Been calling us with your bold predictions for the NFL season, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And right now, we move on to college football and the meeting in Destin, Florida, and the SEC meeting, that is, and Nick Saban's press conference yesterday. We have Heather Dinich, who better to have with us. Heather, what'd you take away from Saban's press conference yesterday?
Well, I took away that they all got the memo from the SEC, which is talk about your own teams and move on from this. And they have, all the coaches did. But at the same time, you know, my sources are telling me that privately a rift still exists between these two. And they went in and they did their jobs yesterday at the coaches' meetings, which were mandatory. They were all seated in alphabetical order by school. Jimbo Fisher is actually the chair of the coaches' group. And SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said yesterday that he was very engaged. This was one of the most substantial meetings that they had. And Eli Drinkwitz said they needed this. They needed to go behind closed doors to talk about these serious issues without any fear of repercussions from what public comments they might say, right? So it was a productive meeting, from what I'm told. Lane Kiffin said that it was much calmer than people outside the room probably expected it to be. But I'm very interested to see what Jimbo Fisher has to say today. He is expected to talk to the media this afternoon.
Yeah, that's all great and everything, Heather. But what do you think he will say? What will be his response?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if he can continue to contain his emotions. I mean, I've covered Jimbo Fisher for a long time. I used to cover the ACC for ESPN.com. And as we know, he's not shy, but I don't think that he's going to spout off like he did the first time and say things like what got us all here talking about this in the first place. I think that he has been told privately to sort of reel it in a little bit. But look, the reason they were offended and so upset in the first place was because they believed that Nick Saban said not only did they violate NCAA laws, but Texas state laws. That's where they became so defensive. So I think that Jimbo this time around will be candid, honest, fast, move on like he always does, but I certainly don't think he's going to escape addressing this issue.
Heather Dinich, ESPN College Football senior writer, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Heather, I am interested, what has been the feeling around the rest of the coaches in the SEC or people at the meeting just about this feud being the biggest storyline of the last couple of days?
Well, there's certainly no escaping it. And every coach that was paraded into the media room was asked about it directly. And look, Kirby Smart tried to downplay it. He said, well, we don't talk to each other anyway. It doesn't matter. You should hear the way we talk to each other on Saturdays when we have the headsets on. It makes this look like Mickey Mouse. And okay, but there's also a reality to it that these are two of the most high-profile coaches, not just in the SEC, but obviously the country. And that's what other coaches said was, look, we're all strong-minded, opinionated people. And this is a frustrating time. That's what Greg Sankey said. He gets that. That's not a defense of what happened. But when you talk to people across college athletics, the reason this spat happened is because there are no rules right now around name, image, and likeness. And that's why these frustrations are boiling over.
Heather, is there a feel with the SEC community amongst the coaches, in all sports for that matter, that what Nick Saban's comments kind of shed like some negative light on the SEC conference? Because quite frankly, we all have felt like the SEC, especially me being out west, has always been doing things kind of dishonest in a way.
So you're asking me to throw the entire conference under the bus for cheating? Is that where
we're going with this? I mean, how do coaches feel? Do they feel like there's light shining on them now?
Well, look, I think that as Wake Forest coach Dave Clawson told me, this has exacerbated something that has already been there everywhere in college football, right? When you're talking, Brian Kelly was talking about this yesterday, about boosters. You've got to get the boosters out of the picture. That's where it has to start. How do you do that? Nobody has any idea, right? But Dave Clawson said, look, this has been happening all over the place everywhere. This is not new. So to single out the SEC for it certainly isn't fair. I think college athletics as a whole has a problem that it has to deal with. But this happening in the highest profile league between the two most popular household name coaches certainly brings the SEC under the microscope a little bit.
Heather Dinich, I know some assignments are more pleasant than others. From the looks of things, boy, this is a pretty good one.
From the looks of things, I can hear the ocean
in
the background.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
It's a tough gig, guys. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, I know.
Just want to lay in the water. Just
look
at
that.
Away, Heather.
Look at that shot. Oh. Thanks, Heather.
Yeah, play that. Just give me that vibe.
Pac-12, we don't cheat.
What was that, Key? I'm sorry?
In the Pac-12, we don't cheat.
No, of course not.
No.
You're allowed to pay people.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not cheating anymore. <It's> not
right, but back in the day, just check the player's parking lot. That tells you everything you need to know.
You were allowed to pay players back then, too. You just had to pay them differently.
Yeah, how was that?
Jake has a very... the NBA and knowing
very
how
progressive
to
attitude as it relates to
you weren't actually allowed to pay them, but you should have
PhD
been allowed.
PhD in how to get what you need.
You couldn't put cream cheese on a bagel without getting in trouble like a couple years ago. Literally, a guy puts cream cheese on a bagel, he's in trouble.
A lot of programs in trouble. Then they get out of trouble, and then they're fine.
That's true. Those days are gone. Why Kevin Durant, guys, is feeling the pressure of the NBA Finals, even though he was eliminated in the first round? What is going on? That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.